my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I shall go there to dwell in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart, and I'm happy, so happy as onward I go. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. That's good singing. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. I said I wanted to start a series in our new year here. But I'm going to put up pictures of our Israel trip here, I suppose. But as I was looking around, I said, man, I haven't finished my There we go. So, I'm still recovering from a trip to Israel in November, and I appreciate again the church's offer to pay for our trip in March of this year. I'm still journaling again some of the things that happened back in November, and kind of reel through. We got 1,400 pictures. And we'll put some of them flashing by here through the worship service. But again, I'd already started a series in Philippians, and I was looking and said, I don't remember if I finished it or not. I remember preaching again, and I remember outlining, but I don't remember which ones I got outlined and got to the pulpit finally. So let's go ahead and if I already preached it, we'll preach it again. It's always good. And Paul said, when he was writing, he said, put the saints in remembrance of. And so even if we've already preached something here, I like to rehearse things again. In fact, after 25 years of being here, I probably rehearsed about everything. And so I appreciate again that we could look at God's Word together in this new year. And I encourage you again to start something new again. If you've read your Bible through, start that over. And again, pick up a little bit more, I guess. Shane has a challenge to read the whole New Testament in 1 month. And so he sent out a schedule to that and challenged the old man to follow, or to keep up, I guess. And so that's what, 8 chapters a day through, again. So if you want a copy of that schedule, I could give it to you. Praise the Lord, but that's a lot of Bible reading. I said, I'm retired, so I don't have nothing to do anyway except sit around and throw logs on the fire all through the month of January. So some of us have some other things going on in January, praise the Lord. So appreciate again that we could start something new again, and I'm going to close off something old here again in the book of Philippians. So let's look at God's Word, Philippians chapter 4. What a tremendous thing to be able to hold and read and study, and yea, to preach God's holy word. Let's stand for the reading of God's word this morning, and look again at the book of Philippians, and chapter 4. There's a couple finally therefores in Philippians, so he finishes a couple times here, and we're in the middle of his first finish with a therefore. So Philippians chapter 4, follow along as I read from God's Word. I also want to praise the Lord for new glasses. I got the VA finally got around and gave me a pair of real glasses with real trifocals that work again after three strikes. Again, I was going to go someplace else, but they nailed it this time. And so I can go ahead and read from the podium. Let's follow along in God's Word. If I misread, and that's because that's what I do anyway, it's not the glasses' fault anymore. Praise the Lord. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eutychus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement, also with my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Father, praise you again and thank you. Thank you again for your word. Thank you that we could read it. Thank you again, Father, that we could hold it. Thank you that we could honor it and love it and reverence it. And Father, I pray again your blessing as we'd step into this year again with this book, that you'd give us again a hunger for you and a hunger for your word, that we'd grow thereby. Thank you again, Father, for the book that Paul wrote to the church here at Philippi, and his heart is put on display again in this chapter, and I pray again that as we look at it, that we learn some things about our own walk, our own relationship with you, and things that we could put into practice in the year that's before us now. We'll ask these things in the name of Christ. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, you may be seated. And so, again, we have here a final challenge, kind of a summary of a lot of things given here by the Apostle Paul in this chapter. And let's just look at some of them here for a couple minutes this morning. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown. And notice again, his beginning with a compassion, his beginning with a passion, his beginning with his love for this church at Philippi. And it's not just this church. If you've read some of the epistles of the Apostle Paul, again, each of the churches that he writes to, he fell in love with the saints that were at the churches that he sprang up all across Asia. And so again, as we look here at this church, notice again that that's not foreign to Paul. He just had a compassion for Christ, but also he had a compassion for saints again. His children, as it were, folks that he saw get saved. And some of them, I can't remember which book, I think it was Colossians, where he writes and says, I haven't met you, but I've heard of your faith again. And so again, that Paul loved, again, the ministry that he was in. Anyone ever heard it said that if you, I didn't get the quote right, but something about if you love your job, you don't have to do a day's work in your life or something like that. And so again, here's a guy who loved his job, praise the Lord. And boy, we ought to love, again, the work of the Lord. That's what we're for. We read down at the home this morning, that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that says, we're a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Praise the Lord. And as we step into, again, a new year, we should probably rehearse some of that newness again in our own life and make sure that things are new and that there is a joy in the service of the Lord. That the things we're doing, we're not doing through drudgery. We're not even doing them through duty. But we're doing them through loyalty. We're doing them because the love of Christ constraineth us. And so here, Paul, he had a right perspective on his ministry, on his ability to write and to encourage and to strengthen the saints. Even though here he writes from prison, he writes again with a heart that's behind and standing with and encouraging and strengthening these saints at Philippi. And I say, when we gather together as a church, small as we might be, never forget that we didn't just come here to see what's happening. We didn't just come here to be spectators. Bible says when you gather together that we're to edify one another. We're to encourage one another. We're to strengthen one another. And again, when we come here, sometimes to see what we can get out of church rather than what we can put into church, again, we end up with the wrong thing happening in church. And so I praise the Lord for this church. It's an encouragement, as small as we might be, again, that we can gather together, that we could word our prayers together, that we could be an encouragement one to another. We live in perilous times, no doubt. And so we want to, again, even look at Paul's heart here and say, hey, that's what I want to be. That's what I want to have, is an enthusiasm and excitement to live for the Lord. And then look at the challenge he gives them, starting right here in this first verse. Stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Think about a minute for what it means to stand fast in the Lord. I know I probably shouldn't use this illustration, but we watch football this time of the year, and I love football. I don't follow any team. I don't keep any statistics. I couldn't name a single quarterback in college or in the NFL. But I love to watch football. I love the dynamics of the game. I love the violence of the game, if you would. And so when we watch that, boy, that people would take a stand. I watched that defensive line stand and make a stand against all the charging enemies. And I think of the charge given here to stand fast. Even though things are going against us, even though sometimes it's hard, sometimes we get hit by things in life, sometimes we get hit by things by friend, sometimes we get hit by things in family, that again, we need a purpose that, hey, I'm going to stand fast. In this new year, I'm going to stand fast in my faith, stand fast in my church attendance, stand fast in my job to encourage others. Some of us need to stand fast as peacemakers in our own family sometimes, that we could be peacemakers in this world, stand fast as our witness, to be a gospel witness, to be able to quote again and give out John 3:16, 17, and 18, and 36, and again to show again people that they're in condemnation, but they don't have to be. And so to stand fast, his first charge here, knowing where they stand, knowing their life, knowing their testimony, and again, he's not writing to the church at Philippi to correct them for anything. He's not rebuking them on any page of this letter. Instead, he's encouraging, encouraging, and encouraging. And boy, I want to be an encouragement as we step into 2023, that we need to purpose that we're going to stand fast. We're going to keep on keeping on. We're going to endure to the end. We're going to be a good soldier, yea, to the very end. And I'll throw this in for free. Probably some of you have heard it maybe till you're tired of it, but I think we're really close to that end again. I look at the America. I've done a little research as being an engineer. Oh, by the way, the reason I won the trains game last night is because I'm an engineer. that dawned on me sometime at about midnight last night. And I had to bring it up today again somehow. So, but being an engineer again, I look at things and I like a logical progression and I like how things are flow. And again, I think the Lord's coming back in 2023. If the Lord comes back in 2023, then he takes 7 years to set up his kingdom, 7 years of tribulation here on this earth. And then he's got 1,000 years. Again, 7 years setting up his kingdom takes us up to 2030. And that's exactly 2,000 years after Christ came down from that cross and rose from that tomb. And so exactly 2,000 years added to the 4,000 years before is 6,000 years. And God likes seven numbers again, and the seventh completion. And on the seventh day he rested, the millennial kingdom of Christ is a seventh day of rest, because a day is as 1,000 years for Christ. And so he takes 1,000 years of rest as he's a king ruling again with an iron fist, the Bible says, for that 1,000 years. Listen, and all that's predicated, that's got to come to pass. And then at the end of all time is the end of that 7,000th year. If that's all sequenced right, now I'm not going to set a date, but again, understand that here we are. This is just 2023 is 7 years short of 2030, yeah, when he died on the cross exactly 2,000 years ago. So when we're standing fast, now it is high time again that we again examine what we're doing and understand that, hey, whatsoever thou doest, do quickly. That don't want to use that. That was given to Judas. We want to again understand that we need to be about the Father's business. Stand fast. Look at the next verse, verse 2. I beseech Eudeus and I beseech Sinti that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Stand fast, certainly, but listen, stand together. Boy, divisions in a church cause, again, an insurrection, causes problems, causes an unbelievable playground for Satan himself in the church. And so again, stand together and being together. Sometimes for Christians, even for some of us old crusty, independent, fundamental, KJV, Bible-thumping Baptists, sometimes we get critical of others because they don't do things just like we do again. And we pull out that Pharisee's prayer that says, Lord, I thank thee that I'm not like other men. But again, understand that, hey, when we look around here and people miss attendance, miss church, we tend to get negative too quickly sometimes. But realize again that people are having a hard time all over the place. People are going through trials and heartaches and situations. I'm reminded of a fellow, I heard his testimony recently. He was saved in a church right around here. And after he got saved, boy, the devil lit into him and into his home and into his children and into his life. And again, he was just being flailed about, even with his newfound salvation. And finally, the pastor came and visited him. After 3 weeks, the guy hadn't been to church in 3 weeks. And the pastor came and lit into him and licked him up one side and down the other for laying out of church. And you're not going to grow unless you get in church, and you need to be. And just let him have it, both barrels. And that guy never did go back to church. He spent, again, the next 15 years just recoiling from churches. And that was a good independent fundamental Baptist church that gave him the Dickens for mission church. And so again, understand this, that again, he was going through sickness in his home. His wife was on the verge of headed to the hospital, and there was things going on in his life that nobody paid any attention to. Boy, again, understand, look around here. We have a little membership, and we should easily be able to stay in touch with what's going on with each one that's here and each one that's not here. And we're to pray for one another. We've covenanted together that we're going to do that. But again, we need to have an understanding that people are going through things. And we need to be there and be a help to them, be an encouragement to them, be ministers to them. And again, as we go through this, notice again what Paul says to them. I beseech Eutychus and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And again, when we gather together, it's good that we're of the same mind. But when people miss, when people aren't coming along at the same rate, understand that we need to be ministers. We need to be encouragers. We need to be helpers. And we need to reach out and encourage. And so, first, stand fast. But boy, we need to stand together. Don't let divisions break up in us. Some of us have seen divisions break up into a family. Wow, we're trying to deal with one now that it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what Christians can do to each other when they get crossed up in a family. It's unbelievable. The venom that spews out of Christians. I don't quite know how to deal with some of that. But to understand, boy, let that not be named among us. Let's be careful and make sure that we stand fast, but we stand together. And then look at the next verse, verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Stand fast, stand together, and stand behind. We can't all do the same job. We can't all get the same thing. We don't have the same calling, the same thing. But listen, we ought to stand behind one another. And we ought to, again, support one another. Whether it be, again, our outreach here that's falling apart. Stop that. I need to get all the videos off of that, I suppose. We need to be able to stand behind your pastor. Let me go ahead and do that, being your pastor. Stand behind your pastor and realize the same thing, that, hey, there's things going on in our lives. There's things going on in ministers' lives all across New York State. And one other thing I found being a pastor is people don't understand too much what's going on in a pastor's life. People don't understand the alienation that a pastor has, even from our own folks. Again, a different ministry, a different calling, a little different background. And again, there's things goes on in a pastor's life, pastor of loneliness, of depression. I can't tell you how many pastors I've heard preach on how to deal with depression, because it's not rare in the ministry, especially as now we're in the last days and seems like everything is against us. And there's, again, things goes on that we need to stand behind our pastor. We need to be faithful and stand behind and support in prayer. Someone said, if you don't like your pastor and you want a new pastor, then start praying for the one you got. And certainly there's some truth to that. Standing behind one another. Stand behind one another as you see us labor, as those that labor in the church, our deacons, minister in the church. In fact, that word deacon means minister again. And so all of us are to be, we won't all fit in the office of deacon, but all of us are to hold that title at least, that we minister to one another. That we can, again, encourage and strengthen. And I appreciate, again, Good Samaritan Baptist Church and your faithfulness to minister to one another, to others outside. It's more than just having a testimony. Again, it's having a ministry where we, again, get involved in lives of others and encourage and help. Little things that goes on here at the church that we could do. I appreciate, again, just seeing some Christmas decorations coming around the church. And again, I appreciated after your pastor, before the big blizzard, took a half ton of sand and dumped it all over the handicap ramp and then all over the front steps. And bless his heart, he was trying to do right, but boy, you'd be amazed how much mud that tracked into this church. And then our church cleaner, bless her heart again, she swept all of my sand off of the handicap ramp after the snow was all gone. And she mopped this whole church like three times again to get all my mud collection out. Listen, there's people that minister here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church, and we need to be supportive. We need to, again, stand behind them, be an encourager, be a helper in the ministry. Why don't we do that sometimes? I'll just tell you from my own experience. There's times, again, when I stood off from a ministry going on in our church, not here, before when I was a youth pastor, because I didn't have time to get involved. I didn't have time to get involved. And there were some, again, that tried to twist your arm and make you do certain things to get you, force you to be involved. But I just didn't have time. My plate was filled. Beverly and I, when we went to church very often on Sunday morning, we'd come out saying, did we worship today? I mean, from the very beginning on the bus route, running the bus route, coming in, teaching Sunday school, doing junior church, and going through the whole day, and then we're just exhausted. We had junior astronauts in the evening, and then we finally, I think, sat down for the first time and absorbed anything on our Sunday night service. And we'd sit back and say, did we worship today? And other people, again, still trying to pull us into ministries. And some of the reason, again, that I would just avoid that is because I felt guilty that I'm not doing more. There's more things I could do, yeah, but there's just not time in the day. And so, again, sometimes we may be standoffish from what someone else is doing because they're going to ask us to get involved. Don't be that way again. Be supportive. Be behind. Be an encourager. Even if you can't get involved in the ministry, we can be encouragers in things that's going on here at the church. And so I want to encourage you that way, that we could find a way and be an encourager, be standing behind the laborers, standing behind those that are going through some tough times. And notice again here, he talks in the past tense. These are, I'm going to picture these now, are some old folk that used to be in the ministry, that used to do things, and we have used to be's in the ministry. But sometimes when we get old, we don't do all the things we used to do. Happy birthday, Dave. pushing 70. No. So as we age again, sometimes we can't do all the things we used to do, but we can stand behind and we can be encouragers. We can be prayer warriors. We can bring them before the throne of God and lift them up and be an encourager. And so there we have three charges given by Paul. Stand fast, because there's going to be things coming at you that you're just not going to be prepared for. Purpose again, that we're going to stand fast. I don't know what's coming at you for 2023, but I know again that we need a purpose that we'll stand fast in the Lord. Second, stand together. That make sure there's not divisions that grow in the church and the family amongst ourselves. Be a peacemaker in that regard, so that we can stand together in the Lord. And then thirdly, he says, stand behind those laborers that are doing a work for the Lord. Verse 4 then is kind of a capstone for all these things that'll tie them all together. And that is that we rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice is the verb form of joy. So joy is a noun. And if you want to do joying, is how we usually turn it into a verb, then the verb is to rejoice. And so we need to exercise joy. Rejoice in the Lord. And if you didn't get it the first time here, Paul repeats it again. I say, rejoice. Exercise joy. I say it's amazing what praising will do. It changes the chemistry of your mind. And again, it changes our attitude. It changes our demeanor. It changes our testimony. When we have a joy overflowing in our life, people don't cross the street to get away from you, okay? In fact, it might work the other way around. And so let's be joyful and have a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Verse 5. Here we go. I don't know how many resolution makers we have here, but if any of them had anything to do with the refrigerator again, here's a good verse for us. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Moderation, isn't that? The opposite of moderation would probably be what? I had a word for that. Excess. Yeah, that's a word. The opposite of moderation is excess. Everyone's binomial. That isn't the word. Where we have too many, what they used to call hyper-depressed, and then you're...
Bipolar,
that's the word, thank you. And so all of us have a little bit of bipolar. Again, we go from one extreme to the other. And again, here's a cry out that our moderation keep us in balance again. And when we go through emotions, when we go on an emotional roller coaster, again, our moderation is what keeps us balanced. Moderation is that we don't overdo something again. A good example might have to do with like Christmas cookies this time of the year. Let your moderation be known unto all men. And I find, again, a lot of applications for that around the table when we're eating again. But our moderation in all areas of our life. Don't be bipolar. How could you not be bipolar? In the verse before, it says rejoice evermore. Just stay in the rejoicing mode. And that literally will balance us, keep us in balance, keep a chemical balance. I get warned that don't try and go to a doctor and get your chemical balance fixed, because they just dump you full of chemicals and they make a bunch of money doing it. And so, again, God has given us a system for keeping our life in balance. And we might better, again, study His prescription rather than take that doctor's prescription. Keep our life in balance, again, with rejoicing, with praising God, with thanksgiving that we'll come to here shortly. But again, that we could find a moderation in our life. If you've ever been around Alka-Seltzer Christians, on Alka-Seltzer Christian, I think I've defined as a Christian that's all fizzy and bubbly and bubbling over, and then they're gone and they leave a bad taste in your mouth. And again, understand that we don't want to be that. There needs to be a consistency in our life, a moderation, as it were, here. And notice again that it's a moderation that others can see. Let your moderation be known unto all men. In your family, you could be looked up to as someone that's got their head on straight. Someone that doesn't overplay drama. Someone, again, who they could go to for advice and discretion and direction. And find, again, someone who's stable. And so, again, that moderation is key in our lives for our service to the Lord. It's key, again, in those three challenges that He just gave, that we'd stand fast, that we'd stand together, and that we'd stand behind, and that we'd, again, have a moderation in our life and not be all over the place. Be careful, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. That word careful there should rhyme with worry again. And so we become worry warts, and we're all worried about things. And again, we have great care about things that's going to happen tomorrow. And we waste a lot of our energy worrying about things, as it were, that never happened also. But we just waste our energy, we waste our emotion, we waste our spirit on things, again, that are out of our control. And don't be fussing over them. Now, those are easy things to say. But again, here, there's a remedy given, praise the Lord. Instead of fussing about things that could go wrong, instead of fussing about the direction of our nation, instead of fussing about, again... the solar flare that's going to wipe out every power plant in America, instead of fussing about where things are going, bring them to the Lord. Cast all your cares upon Him, the Bible says. And so notice what it says here. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. What's that verse that my wife keeps quoting me? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You want to start me out on that? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. And so again, there's so many little keys throughout Scripture that give us this. And here, Paul is just hitting it on his way by. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. My Sunday school teacher told me years ago that a good substitute for supplication is begging. And I don't know how true that is, but again, that we get involved in begging God. Remember in Luke 18, he gives again several parables about prayer, and it begins by saying men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then he gives several parables or stories about prayer warriors and what it takes. And one of them is the widow, I think it was, who will not stop bugging the unjust ruler until finally he says, I've had it with all this begging, and he gives her her desire. And so, and then it goes on and says, hey, God's not an unjust ruler. He's our Father again. And so, to be able to beg God by prayer and by begging, just give it over to the Lord. And then notice the three-prong part of prayer here. Prayer, talking to God. Supplication, asking of God. And with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And so prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Include them in our life here again. And that will help, again, our moderation. It will help our stand fast, our stand together, and our stand behind, previously given. Verse 7. So we have two things here that are helpers for those three charges. And one of them is that a moderation that we have. The other is that we're careful for nothing. And then the reward is in verse 7. And the peace of God. Listen, when you got saved, you had peace with God. Our sins were atoned for. We are at peace with God. Boy, that's a good thing to be. Hallelujah. That'll cause some rejoicing right there. But notice here again, it says that we have the peace of God. You know, God, if you look at Psalms chapter 2, God's not sitting in heaven wringing his hands saying, oh, wow, look what they're doing. Look at the laws they're passing in New York State down there. Oh, my, what am I going to do? Listen, the peace of God, God has great peace. In fact, if you look at that Psalm, Psalm 2, it says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh again. At what's going on here, a man's rebellion against God. And boy, we're in the midst of a rebellion against God like you wouldn't believe. I've never seen such laws being passed. You see Chuckie Schumer there said, as soon as this queer law gets passed, I'm going to call my daughter and tell her all about it because she's married to another Z. And they're going to rejoice together. Listen, the rejoicing that's going on in America is sick. It's perverted. And again, the laws that are being passed, the border situation, the sexual deviant situation, all this stuff. Listen, man's rejoicing over that. And God, again, is not all fussing and wringing his hands like I would be again. Again, we see that rebellion that ought to make us angry. And I wrote a response here again. I think I mentioned it on my penny pulpit. I wrote a response that we need to pray for these people to get ripped out of office. Yeah, if you want to pray for their salvation, yeah, you ought to do that. But I'm praying again that Joe Biden would get ripped out of office one way or another, thrown out. Remember the blind governor we had? Boy, I've never seen such a crazy, hateful, twisted governor in New York State. And I've lived through Cuomo again. So, what was his name? Patterson, I think. We and a couple other preachers I know, we just bonded together and said, we need to get this guy out of office. And we started praying. And boy, it wasn't too much longer, and he was out of office. And then the next jerk they put in there, I forgot who he was, the judge advocate or whatever he was, he was in office for a couple months, and then a big scandal come up and ripped him out of office. And so, again, understand that we have a power with God in prayer to reform our government. Yeah. Use the voting machine. But listen, you might better use your prayer closet. It's more effective than the voting machine, especially when the liberal left is in control of the voting machines again. So we have a power again to seek God and pray down judgment. I gave that Psalm 69. There's a whole bunch of what's called imprecatory psalms. Everyone ever heard of that before? That's where David prays, and he prays against his enemies and said, Lord, make them childless and destroy their kin and their children and let them never find peace in this world. And wow, some of them, again, are overwhelming. I'd probably back away from a couple of them, like Psalm 109. I might not have that in my prayer life. But listen, there's some psalms that I just pray, God, that you'd bring judgment on our government, on some of our officials. They need to be answer for the things, the railings they do against God. I'm off on a rabbit trail here. Finally, over here it says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I've gone to God in my prayer time before and said, God, I don't have a clue what you're doing. I don't know what's going on here. I don't know how to pray for this. I don't know why you're letting this come to pass. But I can still have the peace of God. And you can still have the peace of God. Sometimes we can't understand what's going on. Not let alone in the nation, in our own lives, in situations that come up, in our kin, in hardships, in funerals. We can't understand sometimes all the things that God's doing, but we can still have peace with God when we have learned to do those other two things. Keep our moderation, keep a steady keel, and also keep an active prayer life, that we can again have the peace of God come into our life, and it can pass all understanding. What did that proverb say? Lean not unto thine own understanding. And I have a tendency to do that. Probably you do too. And we need to, again, just acknowledge Him in all our ways. And He shall direct our paths. Father, praise You. I thank You for this charge and challenge that's given to the church at Philippi. And Father, I thank You that we could taste of it here today. And that we could, again, pick it up and apply it into our lives. And I pray as we would, Father, that You'd smile on our love for You and our efforts, our plans for 2023, our goals and our aspirations that we have before us, our hindsight that we look back on a year gone by. And I pray again, Father, that You'd smile on each life that's here today with a special smile and blessing and presence of Your hand in our lives, that we could again see great things done in this new year. We start on this day. And we'll give You all the praise in the name of Christ. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Let's close our service as we began our service. 722 in our hymn book says, Christ for me, yes, it's Christ for me. He's my Savior, my Lord and King. I'm so happy, I shout and sing. Christ for me, yes, it's Christ for me. Every day as I go my way, it is Christ for me. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you for being in church. One more song. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son to die on Calvary's tree, from sin to set me free. Someday he's coming back, what glory that will be. Wonderful his love to me. Lord bless you. Let's step into the new year. There's Bibles, reading schedules in the back. Get one for all your kids.
I believe the called